stormcasts. Everywhere, the silent legions hurled themselves into the fray, compelled by the vampire's will and sorcery. Tarsus got to his feet as the Woebringer whirled towards him, bleeding from a dozen wounds, but showing no signs of weakness.
"I defeated the dead before, and I will do so again. But first, I will take your skull, Silverskin,"
the Chaos Leader shrieked as he charged towards Tarsus, smashing aside the skeletons in his path. Tarsus raised his hammer, ready to meet his foe's charge, when a black shadow spread over them both. The Woebringer looked up. Tarsus took advantage of his opponent's distraction and caught the Woebringer with a blow that rocked him off his feet. As he fell, the Dread Abyssal dropped out of the air and onto the Chaos Champion with a cry. The vampire sat astride the creature and laughed as a Shigaroth's claws tore the life from the fallen warrior. As the creature tore at the body, the vampire looked down at Tarsus.
"I do apologize, my friend, but debts of blood were owed to both a Shigaroth and myself," he said.
He smiled thinly. Tarsus shook his head and looked around. The battle was over, and now the living and the dead stared at each other warily across the bodies of their common foe. He looked up at the vampire.
"You have my thanks," Tarsus said, careful to keep his weapons lowered, reminding himself that the dead could not be trusted.
The vampire chuckled, as if reading his thoughts.
"Manfred," the vampire said. "I am Manfred."
"Manfred, then," Tarsus said.
He hesitated, then extended his hand. Manfred stared at it for a moment, as if puzzled. Then he clasped Tarsus's forearm.
"I am Tarsus, Lord Celestant of these warriors."
"And I am Manfred von Karstein, Count of the Hanging Wood," Manfred said, bowing deeply.
As he straightened, he said, "Do you still wish to find a way into the underworld, friend Tarsus?"
"Then you did find a gate here," Tarsus said.
"No," Manfred said. His smile widened. "Not here."
He slid from the back of his monstrous steed.
"But I know of one, and can lead you there."
"Why?"
"Call it a debt of honour," Manfred said. "I owe you for freeing me, Tarsus of the Stormcasts."
He paused, as if thinking, before adding,
"Perhaps for more than just that."
He extended his hand.
"And as you've seen, I pay my debts."
Tarsus hesitated. He looked up into Manfred's unblinking yellow eyes, judging. Somehow, he felt as if he had lived through this before, and wondered if it had turned out for the best then. Somehow, he didn't think so. But he had a mission to complete, and live or die, he would see it done. Tarsus clasped Manfred's hand.
"Lead on then, Manfred von Karstein. Where you go, the Stormcasts will follow."
That was The Prisoner of the Black Sun by Josh Reynolds, read by John Banks.
Great Red by David Geimer, read by John Banks.
"Forwards," thought Ramus, as though it were sheer will rather than azure-forged muscle that thumped his boot into the dust and dragged the other past it. He could see nothing through the swirl of dust beyond the spitting candle flare of his reliquary staff, hear nothing but howling and the nail-like rap of fine grains of weathered bone hitting his black plate. He did not pity himself the loss of his senses. If there was anything that could be felt anywhere on the Sea of Bones, then it was dust and sand and endless wind. On, his mind intoned, and his body responded to the word as though it were a rod across his back. I will cover every grain of this accursed desert, if that is what it takes to have Manfred von Karstein's neck between my hands, he swore silently. The shield, Sigmar's gift, clanked against his back. The skull of the Ogur, Scragtuff, swung out and in and banged against his thigh. And he pushed on, forwards.
We should ride this storm out, brother, yelled Vandalus.
The knight Aziros was to Ramus's left and half a dozen paces behind, walking bent into the wind, the skeletal frame of his wings tugged back. Wind-whipped totems of feathers, leaves, and bits of bone swirled around his maroon armor, partially obscuring the depictions of stars, storms, and wild beasts in gold.
My prosecutors saw a huge number of iron-jaw aurochs moving ahead of us. We could be on top of them already. The dust will give us no warning.
Ramus snorted.
I thought men once called you the King of Dust. An easy title to claim, and an easier one to give to another, but the dust respect me no more for it. We go on. Our guide is insistent that this is the betrayer's path. An ogre, and a dead one at that. The dead cannot be trusted.
There was a dull pain in Ramus's chest. Lord Celestant Tarsus had used to say that. He shook his head and ploughed on. He touched his fingers to the shield banging against his shoulders. There was a sudden hiss of burning metal, and he snatched his fingers back. He smiled a grim smile as he shook off the sting. Sigmar's gift had delivered unto the betrayer the God-King's fire, and it remembered. The closer they drew, the hotter it burned, and Ramus ardently prayed that the same would be true for Manfred von Karstein's undying flesh. The ogre skull butted his thigh plate and bounced out, in, and banged again. Scragtuff had initially been part of a trap left for them by the betrayer, but Manfred was not the only one with talents. Was he not Ramus of the Shadowed Soul, Lord Relictor of the Fourth Forged Host, the Hallowed Knights? His will was a conduit for the divine storm. Life and death were his to go between. Splaying his fingers over the skull's broad features so that they scratched in the sand over its eyes and mouth, he closed his eyes and bent his mind towards the soul eternal. He could see it still, a dull ember bound by the betrayer's dark necromancy to the ogre's bones.
Awake, Scragtuff.
His spirit voice darted in and around his flesh like a sibilant quicksilver tongue. The sepulchral echoes that rang back from the storm brought an animal growl from Vandalus's mask. He raised his lantern and readied his starblade warily.
I still don't like this, brother.
Ramus ignored him.
He did not like it either, but Sigmar demanded much of those to whom much was given, and the ogre was what Ramus had been given.
If he was to recapture Manfred, and in so doing atone for the failure of his embassy to the great necromancer, and the loss of the hallowed knight's Lord Celestant, then he could ill afford to dismiss such gifts from his enemies.
Awake, Scragtuff. It is I, Ramus, your brother in vengeance.
Frost rimed the weathered metal of Ramus's gauntlet where it covered the skull's mouth. A spark of bluish light took up deep within the dead thing's eyes.
You!
A pause. They were creeping in more often, growing longer.
Are we there yet?
You tell me.
He's near. I can smell him, can't you?
Ramus pulled his hand away. He felt the tenuous bridge between them snap, and the light guttered and died. The frost on his palm needled to nothing, scoured to bare metal by the wind.
What did it say?
Vandalus shouted after a moment.
He is near. That still leaves the problem of the iron jaws.
To the left and right, haggard-looking hallowed knights marched, draped in dust cloaks so heavy that only the meanest sliver of gold or silver glinted through the storm. Nodding in thought, Ramus forced himself on into the wind. Were the iron jaws a problem, or were they just another gift from his enemies?
Sigmar has seen us this far, my friend. Have faith that he will not let us stray now.
The broad axe hit Ramus's shield with the weight of a felled tree. It scratched, snarled, squealed for purchase, but the shield held firm. Sigmarite was more miracle than metal, able to take many colours and forms, and this part of his mortise armour was far tougher than the mirrored silver it appeared to be. All that force had to go somewhere, though, and if the shield did not yield, then it would go through Ramus. He grunted with effort and the throbbing pain. His arm yielded, and the back of his shield struck his skull helm, twisted his face in, and drove his shoulder remorselessly down towards his bent knees. Metal scraped over metal. The crushing weight lifted, dragged back for a final cleaving blow. Ramus imagined it scuffing along the dusty ground and looping up, up, glinting at arm's length above his assailant's monstrous head. The moment! With a roar, he uncoiled and slammed his shield through the brute's unguarded jaw. The big auroch grunted. It was an ugly mound of muscle, sinew, and scar tissue encased in armor plates, impractically thick. Sand-worn spikes thrust out from shoulders, forearms, and thighs. Another set curved up from the collar, so long they almost doubled as a visor and forced the auroch to squint between the notched edges. There were no conventional joints or obvious points of weakness. There were no buckles or straps. Rather, the plates had been bent into one another as if by hand. It swayed back maybe half a foot, braced its back leg, then drove a knee that sliced the lower rim of Ramus's shield into his groin and knocked the Lord Relictor's legs from under him. Not the reaction he had been hoping for.
"Tough, these iron jaws," he muttered as he rolled sideways.
He caught a glimpse of silver and blue where a retributor and something hunched and dusty tussled in the wind, and then the auroch stomped down a boot. Ramus came up onto his haunches, grey sand spraying from his hammer as he smashed aside the auroch's axe. This was not a duel. Neither axe nor hammer was a weapon of refinement. Each was designed for smashing and killing, as the aurochs and Sigmar's Stormcast Eternals had themselves been so designed. A lot of blood had been shed since Ramus had last crossed an opponent he could not overpower with the simple virtues of smashing and killing. They crossed hafts and strained, beast versus divine. The auroch's nose flapped wetly where Ramus's shield had broken it, green-black blood and snot bubbling out with every breath, but it concerned the brute not at all. Ramus felt the desert dust sink around his boots. His arm began to burn with the effort.
"We are not your enemy!"
Putting all his remaining strength into it, Ramus levered his haft up, turned the locked weapons like two halves of a wheel, and forced the auroch to be turned with it or let go. It chose wrong. Ramus guessed right.
"Ha!"
The auroch folded after its weapon, its nose cracking against the headbutt coming the other way. Ramus heard the crunch and splatter of a half-job being messily finished. The auroch bent across him, off balance, axe blade in the dust. Ramus rammed his shoulder into its ribs, this time sending it stumbling away, then lashed his shield back across its jaw with a sound like an iron pot being smashed through a wall. The blow actually straightened the auroch up. Its head snapped almost fully around, but it did not seem to feel a bit of it below the neck. It stuck out an arm and grabbed his throat. Ramus felt his feet kick away from the ground as the iron jaw hauled him to the level of its spiked grill. It glared at him with scrunched-up red eyes. The visible bit of its dark face, wedged in tight, was scabbed with tough stubble. Its breath stank of leaf mulch and mushrooms.
Metal squealed as the iron jaw tightened its grip, seeking to shape Ramus's armour with its bare hands, as it had presumably shaped its own. Like his shield, the armour held. It would take more even than the grip of an iron jaw to make Sigmarite bend. It still felt as though his eyeballs were going to burst out of his face. He smashed his hammer into the Auruk's grill, but could not deliver force enough to break it. At the same time, he drove his boot into its gut, but could not hit anything more vulnerable than muscle and iron. He managed to hook a finger up the Auruk's nose and dragged it up towards him. The creature twisted irritably and snapped at his hand, spraying his faceplate with spittle. His vision began to blur. Bent, disjointed fingers stumbled through the beating dust into his peripheral view, and then faded to black. His ears, however, seemed to grow keener to compensate. The rasp of sand on dead throats, the pop of old joints.
"Not your enemy!"
There was a hiss, a string of metallic thunks, and a row of foot-long sigmarite-tipped bolts stitched up the iron jaw's side. It grunted, in surprise rather than pain, and glanced down at the striking line of star metal piercings running from hip to armpit. Ramus swung his boot up onto the lowest bolt. The sigmarite shaft held true, blessed be, his kick twisting the bolt sharply and driving it deeper into the Auruk's guts. And that, by almighty Sigmar, it felt. Ramus had his feet on the ground and dry, dusty air in his lungs before the Auruk had thought to let rip a howl. Letting his shield hang from the wrist strap, he took his hammer two-handed like a mallet and cracked it across the side of the iron jaw's head. Moving around behind it, Ramus hammered his weapon into its back and shoved it down onto its face. It struggled to push itself up, only for its arms to sink into the sand and Ramus's boot to step on the back of its neck. He ground in his heel until its spine finally snapped. The iron jaw went limp, and Ramus made sure with a last hammer blow that cratered the back of its head and stippled his black greaves with gore.
"Tough, these iron jaws."
He glanced sideways and nodded. The Judicator lowered his Boltstorm crossbow, his dusty armour silver and blue.
"My thanks, Sagittus."
The Judicator Prime gave a quick nod, redressed his aim to a point just above Ramus's shoulder, and fired again. Bolts fizzed past and punched into the shambling corpses until there was no longer enough meat left on them to stand.
"Only the faithful, Lord Relictor. Only the faithful."
With another tilt of the helm, the Judicator turned back to the fight. Ramus did the same. He spotted his reliquary where he had left it, plunged into the shifting bone sands, both a battle standard and a waypoint should any of his knights become lost in the swirl. A fuzz of Azeric power spread into the grey around it, illuminating the morbid imagery of faith, death, and the storm depicted thereon in fits and snatches. Big, hulking shadows brawled around it, tusks, blades, and iron plates glinting blue on the ground and in the sky above. As Vandalus had predicted, the dust had allowed the stormcast to walk right into the iron jaws and given neither side warning. Finding the Auruks themselves beset was something neither had anticipated. Manfred had been wily enough to avoid an encounter with the Wartlands of the Great Red thus far. If Ramus had expected the Auruks to be grateful for his aid, and in that initial flush of self-righteous glory in which he had almost felt his breath upon the vampire's back, he had expected it, then he should have expected, too, his disappointment. It was impossible at a glance to tell who had the edge. Sigmar's storm hosts excelled in close combat, as they had been forged to excel in all things. But the Iron Jaws took a savage delight in it, as if they had been purposefully bred to go toe-to-toe with the mightiest warriors in the realms, and some of the largest carried twice the weight in muscle and half again the breadth. Ramus stowed his shield and ran for his reliquary. He snatched it up, feet sliding in the shifting dust before he regained his footing, boot wedged under a sandpile of long, partially buried bones.
"You!"
came the grunted, straightforward challenge from a veritable behemoth of armour plate mounted on a seething, boar-like beast veering from the churn of bodies.
You're mine. The Great Red's going to be the first over the Bone Sea, and I'll be there with him.
Its iron frame was so massive that it was almost as thick across the shoulders as it was tall. Each pauldron looked to have been remade from a complete anvil, and its elbows struck out like the two points of an upended diamond. Its mount was itself dressed in knotted sheets of mail that abraded its grizzled fur with every step, and no doubt accounted for a measure of its wild-eyed ill-temper. The beast swept itself a path through the dust with long, saw-edged tusks, snorted, and thundered into a charge. Ramus drew back his reliquary, lowered it as though it were a spear, and the auroch a charging juggernaut. He growled the opening bars of a prayer. Lightning played around the metal haft. He felt a static tickle under his gauntleted fingers. Before he could unleash it, the auroch was gone. There was a creak, then a groan, as the iron jaw's hands flapped up despairingly, and it sank rapidly into the ground. Ramus backed up quickly, his own feet sinking into the sudden flow of dust.
"Grind, worm!"
he roared, biceps bulging as he pushed back with his staff against the swelling current. He sought out Sagittus and his other primes, couldn't see them in the confusion, but waved his arm back anyway.
"Stay clear!"
The ground flexed like a muscle, and an astral Templar liberator disappeared in a plume of dust. There was a trembling deep underfoot. Stratified layers shuffled and restacked, the subterranean flows of sand shifting to accommodate the approach of some kraken of the desert sands. And then a terrific explosion carried the lot of it sky high. Bones and debris blasted like grape shot around the bolt of lightning that jagged up in search of the sky. Ramus swore as his body plunged a foot deeper into the sand. Knuckles and teeth and weathered nubs of bone he could not identify swirled around him like the surface manifestation of a developing whirlpool. Everywhere, fissures opened to drink in the desert dust and the shambling undead, while stormcasts and iron jaws wrestled for the skeletal islands the retreating sands laid bare, carcasses so vast that entire armies could have fought over them unnoticed. And then the iron jaw leader and his boar mount reappeared. Thrashing about under 6 feet of dust, both auroch and beast were trapped in a hellish, faceless orifice, large enough to swallow both whole with room to spare. Dust spouted around the struggling auroch, and a segmented body that seemed to be made wholly of sand reared up out of the desert floor. Ramus scowled, trying to draw further away from the rising worm, but the suction on his legs was tremendous. He did not know whether the creatures were truly living predators or a natural phenomenon of the Sea of Bones. The astral Templars, however, had dubbed them grindworms for the screeching, sand-scratching roar they made as they appeared and killed. Their attacks seemed random, drawn by fighting or the movement of large numbers on the surface, but Ramus could not with certainty say that there was not some malign will driving this monster onto him before all others. He forced his staff into the sand, not deep enough to arrest his downward slide, but enough to slow it. He clamped his hammer to his belt and took the reliquary in both hands. Overhead, storm clouds boiled through the gravel-white sky.
"If you hear this, Manfred, if you see it, then pray tell me how this feels."
A bolt of lightning tore through the sandstorm and detonated the grindworm's emerging head. Clods of sand and tiny pieces of glass rained over the desert. The iron jaw, torso blackened, legs gone, hit the ground with a muffled clank. Ramus gave a roar of defiance as the headless sand beast thumped to the ground not far from where he was caught. Every muscle heaved in the direction of one last gargantuan pull towards freedom. There was some give. He felt his legs beginning to slide out of the dust, could see the weathered black plate of his thigh. He bared his teeth for the coming effort.
"Can I help you, Ramus?" Vandalus called down. "Or do you mean to climb out yourself for a greater tale?"
The armored angel beat his wings, dust fizzling and popping as it was blown through his lightning feathers. His attention was down, pointing at Ramus with his sword, clearly blind to the gaunt shape flapping furiously towards him.
"Attend yourself, Aziros!"
Vandalus turned his head, lifted and unshuttered his lantern in the same moment it must have taken him to recognize the threat, and burned the ghoul from the sky with a searing shaft of celestial light. The ghoul simply evaporated. By the time he had closed his lantern again and looked down, Rammus had dragged his body out and onto more stable ground. He looked around. The grindworm was sinking into the desert, the dust it had disturbed beginning to resettle into new formations, burying titanic skeletons greater than dragons and lifting still more from the depths. Already a whole new landscape, utterly alien to what had been before, lay about them. The surviving iron jaws were withdrawing, and it was a withdrawal into the storm. The remaining undead were being methodically hacked apart by the astral templars and hallowed knights. Rammus counted exactly 2 dozen of the former, and about double that of the latter. More losses. Vandalus touched down on the sand and walked towards him, blade pointed accusingly at Rammus's hip.
"I told you that the dead cannot be trusted, brother. That thing you carry led us right into that battle. It took us on Manfred's trail, which is all it can be expected to do. The battle is on us."
The knight Aziros snorted and stowed his weapons.
"As it should be. And with the iron jaws occupied with the dead, it was a battle we had every chance to avoid. Astral Templars will never grieve over a pointless exercise in killing. But I know you saw it too. I had believed that if the Iron Jaws could see us fighting alongside them, then they might be persuaded to aid us in our quest. The Sea of Bones is vast. Even I am not so proud as to deny that we could use their aid if we are to search it fully."
"What you could use, brother, is 10 full storm hosts scouring this wasteland west to east and driving your vampire into the desert sun. We should focus our energies on seeking out the Celestial Realm Gate."
"No," Rammus snapped, startling himself with his vehemence. "No," he growled more softly, but with teeth still. "This path has been set before me by Sigmar himself, and I will not veer from it 1 inch.
"Peace!"
Vandalus clasped Rammus's forearm, and with the other hand gripped his pauldron plate. Some barbarian embrace from the Aziros' mortal heritage.
"My chamber has enough bad blood with Manfred to follow you, you know that. But did the black-skinned auroch we captured on the Marrow Delta not tell us it was the Great Red himself who took the Realm Gate from my brother, Lord Castellan, in the first place?"
"A Realm Gate you cannot now find." Vandalus flung out an arm.
"Light of Sigmar I may be, but I defy anyone to find their way in a landscape that changes from moment to moment."
"And was it not also you who once spoke to me of the reasonableness of aurochs, that all one needs to earn their trust is to win their respect?"
"The aurochs I knew," Vandalus muttered darkly. "These iron jaws are another breed entirely. I don't know what you would have to do to earn the respect of such foes."
Rammus shook his head, his hand drifting to the skull at his hip, a faint but reassuring whisper occupying the darker corners at the back of his mind that might otherwise provide a purchase for doubt.
"I am resolved. If the Great Red can be convinced that Manfred is the threat he surely is, if he can be won around by our strength..."
He clenched his gauntlet, and Vandalus took a step back. The look Rammus felt from behind that gilded, implacable mask was searching. The knight Aziros shook his head and raised his hands.
"As you wanted, brother. I had my prosecutors follow the Iron Jaws' retreat. I heard one of them speak of a fort not far from here."
"Then gather the host, Aziros. We march the moment they return."
The Iron Jaws had erected their fortress on what must have been the only example of static geography for 1,000 leagues. It was certainly the first that Rammus had seen since crossing the Yunkar Mountains. It was a skeleton, the mountain-sized remains of a titan of the Age of Myth, and cold proof, were it needed, that Manfred von Karstein could never be allowed to possess the Sea of Bones. The skull was buried under a massive dune, vertebrae arching high up into the dusty sky, where a scrap heap of rust-brown walls, towers, and metal gangways vied for height and space. Ribs that had been weathered smooth by eons of wind curled beneath it like a dead spider's legs. Sand devils whipped and swirled around the half-buried bones. Partially sheltered under the gargantuan cavity, a fleet of iron-clad war junks, ships of all things, creaked and listed and banged together. Vandalus had told him that aurochs liked to build high, that the size and towering nature of a boss's stronghold spoke directly to his status. The iron jaws seemed even more itinerant and warlike than the aurochs of Ramus's experience, but they were every bit as territorial. Whatever war boss ruled from this structure was surely very high indeed. Perhaps even the legendary Great Red himself. Green shapes cavorted over the distant walls, jeering. The scrap fort's windswept turrets clattered and clanged with gongs, cymbals, and pans.
"Rank up! Shields ready, weapons high! Prosecutors in formation!" Ramus barked.
He looked left, seeing the two lines of hallowed knights, mixed paladins front, judicators back, glittering silver and blue, as straight as statues in the wind. To his right were the liberators of the Astral Templars, their battered maroon and gold decked out in eclectic war paint and charms that wagged about them like animals' tails. Above, Astral Templars' prosecutors hung in the sky like baubles of light. The harsh wind tugged at their fur cloaks and the strips of scripture stuck to their warplate. It had even managed to tease some of the hair from under their sealed helms and whipped it giddily about them, as though triumphant at what it had done. They had been beaten hard, but they were all the more magnificent for it. By Sigmar, they stood yet.
"Let them see what the strength of the finest two chambers in Sigmar's host looks like. Who shines with his light?" "Only the faithful," shouted the hallowed knights, and even a handful of the Astral Templars, gamely attempting to outshout their brothers in arms.
Bursting with pride in them all, Ramus returned his attention to the fort.
"Three of its sides overhang the monster's ribs," observed Vandalus, pointing them out. "An aerial assault on that quarter would almost certainly find the Auruk's defences unprepared." "You have not the numbers to carry out such an attack," Ramus returned.
Vandalus clapped his shoulder.
"Which is why I'll need my brother to relieve me."
Ramus shifted his gaze to the gate. According to millennia of military theory, it should have been the weakest point. The iron jaws were clearly unfamiliar with this theory. Their gate was a lump of iron that, at first glance, actually looked fractionally too large for the frame it had been wedged into. It would take a monstrous application of force simply to get it open, much less to knock it down. The approach to the gate, however, was the first and arguably greater obstacle. An uncertain-looking stairway of iron planks, not all of them flat, zigzagged up the Titan's spine towards the fortress. It was presumably stable enough to bear the tremendous weight of an iron jaw, but it was a challenging path, and every second that the Stormcast's attention was on not falling to the desert floor was a second in which the wall's defenders would be showering them with missiles.
"Restrain yourself, Azeroth. We do not need to take their position outright. Just impress upon their leader our strength as allies."
Vandalus waved a clenched gauntlet in the direction of the fort.
"What did you think I was proposing?"
"But first," muttered Ramus, "to get their attention."
Ramus raised his reliquary and muttered a grim prayer. The sky began to bruise, deeper, blacker, and a sudden wind blew against Ramus's back and swept the dust off it to leave the smell of thunder and fresh rain. Sheet lightning flashed. The thunderhead folded and churned. The wind whipped into a howling cyclone with Ramus, the eye of the storm.
"I am Ramus of the Shadowed Soul," he roared.
The wind stole his voice from his mouth,
but it rumbled from the black clouds like the anger of the storm itself. Rain lashed the scrap fort, deadening the chaotic clangor.
"I am Lord Relictor of the Hallowed Knights, the fourth forged of Sigmar's eternal host. I seek embassy with your leader, the one that calls himself the Great Red."
"That should do it," Vandalus yelled.
Thunder rolled, unappeased, and the rain picked up. Rammus saw several of the Astral Templars turning their faces towards it, letting the water rinse the dust from their faceplates. The Hallowed Knights stood still, statues come rain or storm. From the fortress, however, something moved. A horn was blasted, a set of deep drums enthusiastically pounded, and in a toothaching squeal of metal along bone, the scrap fort's great gate began to grind open. As Rammus watched, a huge auroch in garb garish enough to be seen even through the downpour danced through the opening gate. It was clad in a spiked and heavily decorated half-plate of mismatched iron scraps and painted bone that clapped as it dropped, leapt, and spun down the stairway. It was unarmed in the conventional sense, but carried a club-like length of bone in each hand, using them to slap its thighs, its wrists, its iron garb, and each other in a frantic, strangely thrilling rhythm. A mob of black-skinned aurochs in conventionally wrought heavy armour, full helms and shields, stomped out behind the weird war-chanter. Following them, with a swagger, came the true Ironjaws themselves. Iron-clad behemoths, each one clanked inside a personal battle frame that made the black-skinned aurochs look like whelps, wrapped for their own safety in foil. They nodded metal-encased heads to the war-chanter's rhythm, bashed axes, maces, and articulated fist-claws to the beat.
"I'd say they weren't impressed,"
shouted Vandalus, wings shrieking into energetic life as he lifted himself off the ground.
"Lines of battle!" Rammus snapped.
The Astral Templars clumped forwards and locked shields. His own exemplar chamber bore no shields, wielding instead a deadly blend of two-handed thunder axes, stormstrike glaives, and lightning hammers, and simply took a forward step to maintain a perfect line with their more eager Astral Templar counterparts. As they positioned themselves, the first of the greenskins reached the rain-packed desert floor. There they spread themselves into battle lines that mirrored those of the stormcasts, except for being half again as long, and several ranks deep. Rammus estimated that they were outnumbered at least 3-1. The big iron jaws brutes held the centre, flanked by disciplined detachments of the sober black aurochs. On the left flank, opposing the Astral Templars, was a vast and unruly mob of grots, armed with anything that was going, and cursing shrilly across the rain-driven gulf. On the opposite flank, two full ranks of boar cavalry drew themselves into a roughly unified mob and snorted impatiently for the signal to go.
"No flyers," Rammus muttered, choosing to focus on that advantage, however small.
The protector, Kassos, scoffed at his Lord Relictor's attempted optimism. He was the last of that particular calling left. Rammus had never seen a man more adamant in avoiding his return to Sigmar's keep. Rammus thrust his reliquary above his head and looked down the line.
"Who fights with Sigmar by his side?"
"Only the faithful,"
sang the Hallowed Knights.
"Who will be victorious?"
"Only the faithful."
The war-chanter took the last few steps in a leap and began to flap about in the sand, hunched over as he danced up and down the green-skin line, sticks a blur, huffing and grunting in a sing-song growl. Faster, louder. The auroch sank to his knees in front of the iron jaws brutes in an ecstatic crescendo, bone sticks drumming on his thighs. The rain lashed his upturned face as he roared, and the entire green-skin line erupted with him. First to break forwards were the brutes, then the black aurochs. The boar cavalry, for all their impatience, got themselves together last, but quickly pulled ahead as the vicious beast thundered into a gallop. Only the grots held back, loosing a volley of arrows that sucked wet sand well shy of the Astral Templars.
"Hold!"
Rammus muttered, conscious of the Astral Templars edging forwards, then turned to glance over his left pauldron.
"Judicators! Loose!"
A rattling volley of Sigmarite-tipped warbolts fizzed towards their distant targets, arcing up, up into the rain, and droning down, their accuracy and potency far superior to the missiles fired by their greenskin counterparts. The bolts fell amongst the boar cavalry, thunking into heavy armour. One boar beast slammed to the ground with a foot-long bolt in its shoulder and crushed its rider. The beast behind barged it out of the way on its tusks without slowing down. The rest rode on, armour bristling with shafts and crackling with Azerite power.
"Again! Loose!"
Another volley shot across the distance. This time there was no need to correct their aim for range. The Boar cavalry were a wall of scrap iron and bludgeoning power. The ground shook. Another Iron Jaw rider took an impaling hit in the belly, grunted, but did not fall. To the right, an astral templar in shining bright maroon and gold, called only recently from Sigmaron to Vandalus's beacon, aimed high and drew back on his enormous shockbolt bow. There was a rush of charged air as the giant arrow twanged from the bowstring. It looped over the running black-skinned aurochs, fizzing like a firework, and exploded amongst the grots in a storm of lightning. The boars picked up speed. Wet sand flew from thundering iron-shod trotters. They were now just moments away, close enough for Rammus to see the red of their slathering mouths. Grasping his reliquary, Rammus closed his eyes. He could hear their grunting breaths, feel the shaking of the ground, but he set it aside to focus his senses on the rampant energies of the divine storm that raged around him. It was untouched, as wild as Azir's eternal winterlands.
"There is no shaman here," he muttered as he opened his eyes.
"That will level the field," said Kassos.
"Yes, it will."
Feeling his power rise to fill him, Rammus lifted his reliquary. He felt its unsubtle pull, as though it would lift him from the ground and make him as one with the broiling storm clouds if he did not fight to control it.
"Sigmar, Lord of Lightning," he roared. "Bear their flesh to Azir's fire!"
He blustered a lightning bolt into the onrushing cavalry, reducing aurochs to ash and turning their brutish mounts into running meat. Teeth bared, he unleashed his power again and again until his body glowed. Lightning blitzed the terrified beasts, bolt after searing bolt, until armour bubbled over scorched flesh, and hulking warriors squealed like pigs as they rolled in sand to quench the flames.
"Sigmar!"
he cried, breaking into a charge with his steaming reliquary held aloft.
"He fights beside us!"
The two armoured blocks slammed together in a splintering squeal of shields and blades and split pig flesh. A thunder axe hacked off an Iron Jaw's arm at the elbow in a clap of noise. A riderless boar impaled a retributor on a tusk. Bolts whistled from behind. An auroch bellowed a curse, and a moment later was spit through. Weapons hummed with Azeric charge. Two Iron Jaws shoved towards Rammus, barding grinding until it shrieked. There was a snap of energy, a crimson blur that cut left to right, and both aurochs slumped headless from their mounts. Kassos swept in front as the boars pulled apart and galloped past, Stormglaive whirling with such venom it looked as though he must be holding two of them. It threw a barrier of spattered red between Rammus and the press of Iron Jaws, and flicked the desultory shower of grot arrows waspishly from the air. The retributors and decimators surged into the break, the astral templars a yard ahead, as always. Rammus heard the stormcast's savage howls and the ring of star metal as the liberators crashed into the black aurochs and threw to the brutish Iron Jaws behind. Smashing and killing. War as the God King had always meant it to be. Vandalus lanced overhead, beams of light from his lantern punching golden holes through the auroch ranks, then rolled left while the prosecutors that followed peeled right. Flight alone was a mighty task for these angels in armour, and to do it with grace demanded not only a fluidity of body, but a finesse of mind and will that transcended even the superhuman. Wielding javelins like lances and celestial hammers two-handed, they thumped into the terrified grots like comets. Bodies flew, and to a cacophony of ululating war cries, the stormcast barbarians set about tearing the light skirmishers apart. The grots were broken almost as the first prosecutor fell to earth amongst them, and they were already fleeing for their weird ironclad paddle ships.
"Odd, boys!"
bawled the heaviest brute in the block of Ironjaw's ranks, clacking a big, clunky grabber claw, all rivets and red paint, at the second mob of black aurochs.
"I has this! Go sort out those ones with wings!"
The second mob wheeled 180 degrees and tramped back towards the grounded prosecutors.
"The centre holds,"
called Sagittus from somewhere nearby.
"Judicators, to the flanks!"
shouted another stormcast. Ramus drove his boot heel into the face of an iron jaw that was trapped under his dead boar. Cassos's stormglaive hummed around him like an angry guardian spirit. Somewhere, amidst the smoking remains and the iron clamour, Ramus could hear the auroch war chanter pounding away with his bone sticks. A vicious tempo that the auroch strove to match with their weapons.
"The brutes rally to him," growled Cassos. "See how they shield him."
An iron jaw rose up in front of Ramus like a wall. It was the claw-toting boss, and the brute alone occupied the width of two others. Ramus dropped his shoulder and slammed into the iron jaw's pectoral before he had the chance to turn his weapons on him. Air woofed out of him, but he did not yield an inch. The grabber claw champed shut inches in front of Ramus's neck. The Lord Relictor swayed back, whipped up his hammer, and deflected the moon-shaped axe that had been scything for the crown of his helm. A crackling stormglaive spat across his turned shoulders. The iron jaw bent out of reach, swatting the blade gruffly aside on the back of its claw. It was a split-second distraction, and Ramus took it. His hammer dented the iron, cladding the iron jaw's right side, and drove all the brute's weight onto his left. It gave a threatening growl and paddled its arms for balance, but had nothing free to stop Cassos punting his stormglaive into its throat and tipping it onto its back. Ramus knelt over the big boss and smashed the brute's helm open with a blow from his hammer.
"Sagittus!"
he roared, as Cassos moved protectively in front of him. The warchanter's tempo had picked up, and it seemed to thump out of the bloody air. Ramus caught glimpses as the rest of the Iron Jaws mob pressed forwards to defend the performer. Its eyes shut, mouth open, it played through the grip of some wild, degenerate rapture.
"Take him down, Sagittus!"
Heavy bolts hammered into the Iron Jaws, but they held firm, too thickly packed for the missile fire to get through. Even the prosecutors that had managed to retake to the skies before the Black Oryx charge had hit home found their javelins and thrown hammers blocked or knocked out of the air. And driving it all to ever greater heights of aggression and fury was that drumming beat.
"I have him, brother!"
Vandalus swooped in behind the block of brutish heavy infantry and there executed a barrel roll that dragged him across the rear of their formation. He unshuttered his golden lantern. Iron Jaws howled as the wondrous light of Azaheim burned across their backs, bled through cracks too slight for any bolt storm bolt or storm call javelin to reach, and even tightly shut as they were, brought green smoke from the war chanter's eyes. The Oryx's demented chant bubbled off in a rabid scream. Ramus saw the Iron Jaws waver. Enough for him to barge through the heavier auroch warriors and put the war chanter out of his torment with a hammer blow to the temple. That was enough for the remaining black aurochs, who immediately began to break off and run after the scattered grots. The iron jaws, however, outnumbered and surrounded, fought on. Vandalus flung out his wings and speared upwards into the rain. The pall around him thickened. Lightning flashed. Ramus felt the hairs on his body respond to the rising charge, and sparks dance along the points of his reliquary's sigmarite halo. The knight Azeroth slid his lantern's aperture to its widest setting, and the full force of its illumination seared the dark of the storm away. For a moment, for one divine moment, Ramus felt the eyes of the god-king upon them all. The throaty screams that greeted his gaze were affirming, the sudden burning blindness of the apostate. The sky cracked open, and lightning jabbed again and again into the desert floor, like a chisel against a tooth, until the rain-soaked ground was cloaked in bone dust, and all Ramus could see were the flashes. Kassos laughed as cries of "Sigmar!" greeted the Azeroth's display of might. The cloud began to settle, thinning as it did to reveal the glitter of maroon and gold, perfect as gemstones. 2 dozen Stormcast Eternals, fresh from the barracks of Sigmaron and perfect to the finest facet of their warplate, gave voice to a thunderous cheer and charged the Iron Jaw's rear. Breathing heavily, Vandalus landed beside Ramus.
"Difficult to win an audience when everyone's dead."
Ramus smiled grimly.
"The Astral Templars were not part of the embassy to Shaiish, were they, my friend?"
With an amused snort, he pointed over the determinedly fighting Iron Jaws to the scrap fortress, seemingly abandoned on its lonely bone-top promontory.
"A day or two of rest will serve us well. We will regroup, resupply, and recover the Betrayer's Trail. And maybe someone will show up to reclaim it."
The Iron Jaws clan hall was cold. Air came in through a pair of iron-grilled fireplaces in the long sidewalls and ruffled the dyed skin hangings. A long feasting table filled most of the floor space, a mishmash of metals so beaten, rumpled, and chewed on there was not flat space enough to set a jug. Ramus took it all in with a cursory sweep of his gaze. He stood with the open door behind him where it was coldest, dust circling, the big fireplaces either side, the table extending before him to a large, bloody iron throne. A hide banner covered the whole wall behind it, depicting 2 crudely drawn glyphs on a red background. He knew little of the Orukish languages, less of their written forms, but these he had seen everywhere. Great. Red.
"We have searched the compound thoroughly, Lord Relictor."
Sagittus stepped in from outside, letting in the dull clangor of pots and pans, strung up wherever they might catch the wind. Mist clung to his grim-faced silver mask. His bolt-storm crossbow hung by his side in 1 heavy gauntlet.
"It is empty."
"Very good," Ramus murmured. In his mind, he pulled those 2 symbols apart, turned them over, searching for the hidden complexity that was so jarringly absent.
"Lord Relictor?"
"Look again."
"My lord, I assure you."
Ramus turned his head towards his second, the deep sockets of his skull helm boring in.
"When I feel assured, I can guarantee that none will know of it before you."
The Judicator gave a stiff bow from the neck.
"Very well, my lord. Once more."
His boots clicked on the metal floor as he walked back outside.
Ramus returned to his contemplation of the fluttering banner. Sagittus had not been part of the warrior chamber at the Bridge of 7 Sorrows, and had not experienced the reforging. He had not been given the time to reflect on the consequences of that quest's failure. Tarsus was Sigmar's, and he had been stolen. To Ramus's exhaustive knowledge of the histories, such a violation had never befallen another storm host, and the shame of his participation in it seared. And if he should fail to recover the Lord Celestant now... The Hallowed Knights were a company of immortals. There was no precedent for the elevation of one of their number to leader. He touched his fingers to Scragtuff's skull and closed his eyes, giving himself to the cold. His lips parted in a wisp of vapour. They were numb and pinched.
awake, Scragtuff.
Came the answering echo, the dull murmur of a dreamer.
How much ground has Manfred gained on us? You are connected through the ether, Scragtuff.
Ramus felt the impression of a wretched spirit tossing and turning, eyes flickering between sleep and wakefulness.
Not far. Time to sleep, maybe. Just for a bit.
Ramus withdrew his fingers with a start and opened his eyes, his perception suddenly, jarringly normal. He blinked a few times, licked his lips, worked his fingers to restore them to some kind of warmth, and as he did so, a door clicked open at the far end of the hall where there had been none. It put a ruck into the banner that had been draped over it, and blew dust in underneath. A golden gauntlet felt under the fabric, swept it up and back over the top of the thick metal door. Vandalus peered around, looking slightly lost, then turned to Ramus and pointed to the ceiling.
I came in from the roof. Don't be too harsh on Sagittus. It was bolted from this side.
Did you?
No, Vandalus sighed. I did find a grot hiding back here, but I suspect it was his duty to open the door for whoever sat in that throne.
He pointed to it and gave a dead-eyed smile.
Auruk bosses prefer high spots. It shows everyone else how important they are, and lets them see everything that's theirs.
See how far?
The dust covers everything. Not far.
Show me. White, as deep as the eye could show. The one thing from his experience that Ramus could compare it to was being trapped in mist. It looked like mist, superficially perhaps, but to stand within it was to know what deceptive devil's appearances could be. It was bone dry and bitingly cold. The wind hissed. Bone shards tinked against his armor, and further out, where he could not see, all around, the chitter of bone whispering across bone was constant. If the dead were to converse away from the ears of the living, then Ramus knew by the chill in his soul that this was how it would sound. He moved to the spiked metal rampart, set his gauntlets on the sharpened edge, and peered down. White, all the way. He could not even see the spiral stair anymore. The wind moaned against his helm's frozen sides. Sound moved strangely in the sea of bones. It hung in the air, making it seem sometimes more like being underwater than on a desert. The dull mutterings he heard could have been an army passing under his nose, a lone beast trumpeting 1,000 leagues away, or even the tectonic wars of the Junker, far, far behind them. Something on the rampart beside him blew its nose, and he turned his scowl upon it. He had reasonably assumed that found a grot meant killed a grot, but now the wretch was looking up at him with wide, wet eyes, ears flat back against its head. Ramus had to concede that the mood was not exactly on him either. Gorka Morka had once been part of Sigmar's great pantheon, he reasoned. It was belligerence rather than fundamental theistic differences that set the two powers at odds.
"We are looking for the Great Red," he said, speaking firmly. "Where is he?"
"It's not here,"
the grot squeaked.
"I see that. I asked where he was."
"Gone."
The grot swallowed, the big lump in its throat bobbing up and down.
"Gone to fight at the Thunder Door."
The scrawny greenskin nodded vigorously.
"Why?" asked Ramus.
"To fight."
"But why?"
"To be first over the Bone Sea. Think of the fame. Even the old Junker never did that."
Ramus turned to Vandalus, over by the door onto the stairwell.
"The desert nomads that greeted us on our first arrival believed the Sea of Bones went on to the edge of the world.
In Carthage's libraries, we found texts describing distant lands, so far across the lifeless plain that even the Age of Chaos had yet to reach them. Ramus snorted. Stories told to give hope to children.
True, piped the Grot. And the Great Red was all about to head off too. Had his boats loaded and everything before the dead one snuck in and took his Thundergate.
Ramus's jaw clenched. His chest had gone suddenly cold.
Manfred.
He means the Celestial Realm Gate, said Vandalus, moving across.
There's another fort there, said the Grot quickly, warming to its theme. It's very important. The Great was going to use it to bring in stuff and store it. It's a long way over the Bone Sea.
Tell me about the dead one, Ramus demanded, dropping down beside the Grot and eliciting a terrified squawk. Tell me everything you know about Manfred.
Wait, said Vandalus, turning to the deep white view and cocking a gold-helmeted ear.
Do you hear that?
Ramus gave an irritated wave, but as soon as he did it, he realized that the distant Susurrus had changed. It was no longer so distant, for one. Drums. It was scores and scores of big, deep drums. The cracked chant of guttural voices, the tramp of armored feet.
Clear the skies, said Vandalus urgently, as you did before.
Though he ached, body and soul, from his efforts in the battle, Ramus raised his reliquary and gave voice to a doleful prayer. The wind picked up, and the dust pall began to thin, the sky so cleared, blackening and producing a rumble of distant thunder.
There!
Vandalus shouted. Wearily, Ramus looked in the direction the Knight Azeros pointed. The stamp and clank of massed ranks rolled in from the desert plain towards the scrap fort. Several score of the damnable war-chanters cavorted ahead of armoured columns, each 1,000 strong, beating out a marching rhythm that held little in common with their neighbours, to create a raucous banging. Steaming between the formations, vast ironclad paddle-boats, top-heavy with crowded siege decks and bristling with artillery, chugged through the sand. Energy coursed through them and occasionally arced off. Ramus could see one of the strange iron-jaw shamans enthroned on the main deck of each monstrous vessel. He could sense their power, swollen to near godlike proportions by the weight and vibrancy of their green-skinned kith around them, and somehow understood that these vessels served equally as troop transports, shock weapons, and amplifiers to ward off the grindworms. The Great Red had planned his war clan's migration well. Searching the marching files, Ramus saw him at last.
There he is. The Great Red.
A dark shape, a knot of ill-defined aggression, hung over the front ranks, mounted on a lumpen monstrosity of a creature that beat furiously at the surrounding air, as though to physically subdue it with its small but muscular wings. Ramus was aware of Sagittus shouting from under the iron floor beneath him, judicators charging for the walls and priming crossbows.
So many, Ramus muttered.
Too late to worry about that now, Vandalus snapped. You wanted to impress the Great Red, and I'd wager that's him right there. Impress him, be strong, show no fear, and if he doesn't kill us both, then maybe he'll be intrigued enough to hear your piece.
Nodding his understanding, Ramus turned back and channeled his voice into the storm.
I am Ramus of the Hallowed Knights, Oruk, and I have been waiting for you. Come to me, and let us settle this as equals.
He strained to catch the Great Red's reaction as the wind failed and cloaked the space between them in dust. The last thing Ramus saw was the Iron Jaws beast pulling ahead of his army and striving for height.
A moor crusher, said Vandalus. I saw one in the Carthic Old Woods once. The native ogors used to leave living prey in the forest to keep the monster from their tribes.
Ramus caught the Grot staring at him in open-mouthed, wide-eyed and flat-eared horror. He grunted and turned to Vandalus.
Will he come?
He will. No Oruk would let a challenge like that go un...
The Azeroth looked sharply up. Ramus heard it at the same time. It sounded like... Ramus pushed himself back against the spiked battlement as an armor-plated boulder smashed into the center of the rampart. The structure tilted sharply and squealed. Ramus clung grimly onto the rampart spike with one hand, arm hooked behind it and grinding on the metal. He saw the grot tumble past him, smack once against the wall, again on the skeletal structure, coming apart like a ball of yarn and disappearing into the pall. Unconcerned by the swaying tower and the alarmed clangor of chimes and bells, the Maw Crusher unfolded arms and legs and rose up onto knuckles the size of Ramus's fists. Forelimbs covered in hard scales, some of them carrying faded red paint, opened out like a pair of shield walls to reveal a head that was almost all mouth. A massive underbite, made even more pronounced by a muzzle of huge prosthetic fangs, chomped up over its small red eyes. Stooped under a mass of war gear, with ironclad thighs around the monster's neck and toes scraping the ground, was the largest greenskin Ramus had ever seen. He had had cause to say that many times over the past months, but he doubted he would ever have another. The brute was gigantic, clad in thick armor daubed half and half in red paint and black, with massive clawed gauntlets and spiky boots, dull red with old blood. Only its head was exposed, the black and red pattern reversed with a slash of red paint over its brutalized dark hide. One eye was nailed shut with an iron plate, a wandering green eye crudely drawn over it. The megaboss grinned down at the stormcast, a slow, ape-like drawing in of muscles to reveal a mouth full of sharp, oversized metal teeth, bloody where they must have bitten into the roof of its own mouth. If Ramus and Vandalus had stood together and been clad in a single piece of armor, they could not have been as large.
"I'm the Great Red,"
the megaboss bellowed, voice so deep it seemed to come up out of the ground. The beast snorted and dragged its knuckles over the floor in an agonizing screech. The iron jaw glared at Ramus with his one eye, then twisted to mark Vandalus with a squeal of metal plates. He turned back to Ramus.
"Kill my boys. Take my stuff. You think you're big enough to take Korok the Great Red?"
He dropped his heavy jaw and roared with laughter. Ramus planted his reliquary into the metal between them.
"This land has been claimed, from the Celestial Realm Gate to the Yunkar Mountains and beyond the forests of Kartha, this land is Sigmar's."
At the name Sigmar, power lashed from his staff and stung the hulking Ironjaw a blow to the shoulder. Korok jerked back, bellowed in pain and shock, electric spasms forcing out a grunt of annoyance as he involuntarily yanked on the chain attached to his mount's spiked collar and locked his thighs down on its neck. It choked out a growl and instinctively threw out a battering ram punch that smashed Ramus in the gut and off his feet. His legs flipped over his head, light to dark, sky to metal. His faceplate smashed the top of the crenel spike, a crack spidering from the left eye socket of his helm. Dark to light, the sky above him. He flung out a hand and caught the spike. His arm snapped taut and jerked him back, slammed his body hard against the fort's metal wall. Ramus's feet slid across the wall without getting any kind of purchase.
roared the Great Red. "Maybe you should both have a go. Ha! Take turns, maybe."
A flash of light burned like forked lightning through Ramus's shattered orbit as Vandalus explosively took wing. There was another bark of pain from the iron jaw and the clash of blades. With a grimace, Ramus tested his bicep against his weight and heaved. He began to lift, bellowed as his shoulder passed his elbow, and then tossed his reliquary back inside and hauled himself after it. He collected his stuff and rose, lightning pouring into him until the metal beneath him turned blue. Vandalus and the Great Red were fighting high up above the fort's roof. The Azeroth flittered agilely around the Iron Jaw's monstrous axes, leaving a glowing trail where he passed as though it were a net, cleverly lain to trap the brute in his own savagery. The Megaboss's metal teeth glinted hungrily, one booming growl rising from his vast jaw without any apparent need for breath. He was a green storm, destruction made manifest, his brute physicality merely the solid housing for a force of nature. His axes flashed down together, forcing Vandalus into a parry that sent the Azeroth spinning. The Maw Crusher's claws clenched as though taking the air in its grip, and then lunged out. A paw, like a gargant spiked mace, smacked the careening Azeroth and hammered him back down. Vandalus hit the roof in a blaze of spinning pinions and rolled until he hit the inside of the parapet. Rammus could hear armored boots pounding up the staircase below. It would be Kassos.
"Sigmar, is the true lord here, beast?"
Lightning stabbed from Rammus's staff and coursed through the Megaboss and his monster. The Iron Jaw sprayed Vandalus in phlegm before he could grind his metal jaw shut. Blood ran down his chin as his enormous body seized. Howling, flapping with erratic fury, the Maw Crusher crashed back down. Exhausted, Rammus recalled the flow of current and turned to check on Vandalus. The Knight Azeroth stood up, almost fell right back over, but steadied himself with a widened stance and shook out his light wings, creating a dazzling show of might and colour, as if to ward off a rival or a predator. To Rammus's surprise, Korok gave a rumbling chuckle. The Iron Jaw dismounted with a gravely structural clang and kicked his warbeast out of the way.
"You fight good for Thunder, men! Better than the big boss I killed at the Thunder Door!"
Vandalus started forwards, only for Rammus to hold him back.
"Take him," hissed Scragtuff, down by his hip, "while his guard's down."
Of their own volition, Rammus's muscles tensed to lift his reliquary, but then he frowned.
"I did not summon you."
"He's too strong. He doesn't need you. He won't listen. End him while you have the chance."
Rammus lowered his staff.
"That is Scragtoff's voice, but those are not his words."
A sepulchral chuckle issued from the skull. Not one, in fact, but two, an eerie echoing effect, as though he were being laughed at from both sides. The first was gruff and breathy, recognisably Scragtuff, while the other was the sound of courteous good humour. Korok ground his thickly armoured slab of neck around, one eye narrowed in annoyance. It was that rather than the voices from the other side that turned Rammus's insides colder than the desert wind. Rammus was the conduit for the divine storm, the beacon for the soul eternal. Only he could speak with the dead.
"Awake, Scragtuff," whined the skull in a wheedling falsetto.
The ogre's voice was gone, replaced entirely by the urbane impostor that Rammus recognized all too well.
"So tediously stentorian. Where is Manfred, Scragtuff? You are connected through the ether, Scragtuff."
Now that it was presented to him, it was clear that the voice had always been there behind the ogre's words. How had he not heard it before?
"That voice," breathed Vandalus.
"The betrayer."
"Hear, O conduit of the tepid squall, beacon of arrogance eternal. Tell me, are the Stormcast Eternals prone to delusions, or is it just you? Imagine believing that your quaint, half-mastered talents could begin to rival mine."
The voice tuttered, and Rammus realized that it was no longer coming from the skull. A hazy human figure had appeared, wavering about a foot above the rampart. His black, ridged armor was dented and scratched from countless battles, and the red cloak he wore, though magisterial still, was tattered. The wind blew through him, his long dark hair fluttering in some other breeze. His hair was wilder than Rammus remembered, his teeth longer, his eyes redder. His patrician features were horribly burned. Sigmar's gaze was not so swiftly healed.
Poor, pathetic hero. You brought me here,
Rammus yelled, fury making his voice crack.
You led me by the damned nose. Why? Temper, temper, Lord Relictor. What kind of example does that set the peasants? Why?
Manfred laughed.
I think we demonstrated back in Cartha that I have little to fear from you.
He half turned towards Korok, one melted, hairless eyebrow suggestively raised, like a schoolmaster trying to goad the proper answer from a well-intentioned but slow-witted pupil.
Me?
Rumbled the Great Red, scrunching up his face in thought.
Where have you just been? Manfred prodded.
The Thunder Door.
Vandalus's face dropped in understanding.
Just think, my friend, had you gone straight to your realm gate, as you suggested, then I might never have been able to get by the Iron Jaws to take it.
The Megaboss drew up at that.
Of course, Great Red here would have killed you out of hand, but we can't have everything, can we? And as he's likely going to do that anyway, that would have come at no real cost to you.
The apparition turned to Rammus and bowed.
Of all the Stormcasts I have encountered, dear friend, you are the most rigid.
He grinned, teeth sharp and somehow brighter for their transparency.
I appreciate rigidity in my friend.